but
Kiddush actually, very Kiddush. Okay, everybody, let's break this down. We're doing a quick sequel of the Malacha of what's his name? The Malacha of Mavri. So we've got a few Kiddush, actually, there's some new ones that come out here. Let's have a look. So the Malacha of Mavri was creating a fire. We increased the existing fire. The beneficial purpose is also Minatera, Chaim Minatera. If it's destructive, the Moshe takes a piece of paper and he burns it on Shabbos. It's not a mitzvah rabbanon, it's destruction, but it's still awesome rabbanon to do. Included in creating fire is using a magnifying glass. Yeah? For example, someone takes a magnifying glass in the sun and he burns a piece of paper with it. That's also called Havora, actually. It's a Kiddush, actually. That's called Havora. Driving a car is also a problem. I've written this over here. It's interesting, actually. When you drive a car, apparently, you're releasing gas into a chamber there, and that apparently is igniting the whole time. That's the problem. I remember I once asked a shout to Rob, as a postman in Prestwich, it was Eid. It wasn't from, I wanted to invite him to come for Friday night for a meal. So I asked a particular Rob if I can invite him. So Rob said to me, I'll tell you, it's not so simple, he said to me, he said, why is he at home on Friday nights watching television? No, he's done one, he's put the television on, and he's watching the whole time on television. I want to say, he said, when he comes back hard to you, every time he puts his foot on the accelerator, he's doing all this, it's a of horror. So the advice is better he stays home. Better to invite him rather for something else rather than Friday night. Interesting discussion on that. My colleagues are positive about this, that point actually, this thing. But an interesting point. Okay, that was driving a car. Then we spoke about moving a table with an oil lamp on it. So the marshal's got oil. We haven't really got this now, do we? We don't really have oil burning in everything. But let's say you do. Let's say you've got oil, paraffin to the side. Let's say you've got oil burning in in a lamp. So when you move the table, so if you move it gently, so that's no problem actually. That's not a problem. If you shake the table, then what happens is the oil moves and the flame changes. And you're making the oil go higher to the wick and lower to the wick. That's a shadow of oil that should be careful about. A normal candle hasn't got this problem actually. A normal candle, even though when you move it, it might flicker slightly. The slight flickering is the same. The flame is the same more or less. It's just changing positions. If you make it very forceful and it goes a big shot and a small shot, that could be worse. But generally speaking, if you move a table, it can go. So we've got a problem with muxa, that's true. So let's say this is a Shabbos table. We had the Shabbos table, so we had the cans on the Shabbos table. And with a person who wanted to sit down by the table, he was on a big side. And the problem was the table was quite far back, so he couldn't get in. So last year, I can move that table on Shabbos. So there's a problem of books, it's quite right, the problem of the So a normal table is not a muxa, because on a normal table you've got your cutlery, you've got your plates, you've got loads of things on the table. The table is a bossesly is of a heter. So normally speaking your table is not a muxa. So you could lift your table like this, let's say this is a chance to go here, but you've got things on the table, so you can move it very slowly, move back a bit, much less here, so we'll get a bird to sit down over here. So that's a bit of room.
Canister tray,
unless you put something else on there. But the canister tray itself, obviously, only got muxonics. I thought it was interesting when we came to Manchester many years ago. They just started with these wheelie bins. So there was an interesting question about it. One of the Yom Tov was Shavuos coming up, and it was wheelie bin day on Yom Tov. So someone suggested that if you want to bring your wheelie bin back in again, you should tie a ribbon on your wheelie bin. That makes sure the wheelie bin is a bossless issa v'heta. A wheelie bin is holding issa, all the rubbish, the muksa, and a lovely red ribbon, which is heta. So it's an interesting idea, this, the Maisa, does it work? So I remember speaking to Rosh HaKodel, actually. So he says, going to Rocha, so he said the Maisa is not sure if this works, actually, because the Lachim Shulchan Aruch is that something which is meyuchad for something, a candlestick itself, which is meyuchad for candles, you can't put a ribbon on it. It doesn't help to put a ribbon on it. Because since it's meyuchad for candles, it doesn't help to put a hetzer on it. So the chayr, who are dealing with this tray, if it's meyuchad for candles, the chayr is not so possible to be able to put something on it. Or the dustbin, who are dealing with the dustbin, which is meyuchad for all rubbish, that's not so possible to be able to put something on there to be able to make it not a problem. Yeah, that was an interesting point. Okay. Now this is another thing, we didn't touch on this so much when we learned this, but I'll try to check it out 100% today. But what comes out is like this, sometimes you've got in your house your thermostatic, I don't know what it's called, the thermostat, it's a little box which controls the temperature of the central heating. Now, you have to think about this. What happens is, when you come into your house, if you've got your this little box, I don't know what it's called. Thermostat.
You've got a remote.
I don't know, same thing, I see. Yeah, the ones were remote ones. What are we here? A thermostatic controlled heater, which is very sensitive to change. It's very, very sensitive, I see. Yeah? So many people have it by the front door. That means as soon as you open your front door, a gush of cold air comes in, and it can activate the thermostat. Are you allowed to have it in that position on Shabbos?
No, everyone has it there.
Two questions. Well, first of all, no one has it there because first of all, it's not such a good position. Some people have it there, some have it around the corner. Some people design it, especially that it's not Mummy's Day, actually. I must say, when I was, put my thermostat on a roof, I told him I shouldn't put it by the front door. Because there's reason, actually. It's an interesting question. So, what's the shiloh over here? The shiloh is that, well, if the boiler's off and you come in and open your front door, a gust of cold air is going to come in, it's going to set the thermostat to go off. Is that first of all, it's very sensitive, it's like a refrigerator actually, yeah? It's not called a grom. It happens very, very quick. It's very, very sensitive. So that could be a shadow of a refrigerator going on. So that is not so good. I mean, some people say it's a softening of a refrigerator because the boiler might be on. There's various different things, but it could be a shadow of a refrigerator with seers. It's a shadow with seers, what's going on? That is not such a posture question is over here. And therefore, if one can, it's better not to put it by the front door, the postman say. Or, well, I was talking, like mine was already by the front door because I moved in, it was already there. The Rav told me I should put, let's say it's on here, let's say this is the thermostat, and the front door is over there. So as soon as it opens, it hits the thermostat, hits it. What you do is you put like a piece of cardboard coming out over here. That stops where the wind comes, it hits the cardboard. It doesn't hit the thermostat directly. Like a grommet, that takes a bit of time then, that would be a way around it. I don't know if anyone's making on this now, You told me someone gave a shear that was alright.
Yeah.
What?
On a thermos on a remote thing.
That's even worse, that one. What? You could take that around with you? You said you could take that around with you? I would like to find out about it. An interesting point is actually, because it's a sophic, you must realize this thermostat is a sophic, yeah, it's not definite. It could be the point is on when you come into your front door, it's very possible your point is working anyway. So when you open your front door and a gust of cold air comes in, you're not really doing anything. On the other hand, it might be off. That's the question. So, and I say, Zohar v'Shomer, he says one should avoid this problem, actually. He said one should not do that. One should not have your thermostatic box mummish by it. I was wondering, I didn't get a chance to say, as far as I remember, you know, often on these radiators, you've got these thermostatic valves. Now, we just speak about it, I couldn't get a chance to check my notes, but I'd have to turn it up on Shabbos. I'm not sure what you're doing with it. There's no electric there, Tori, when you change it. Yeah, okay, it might make a difference. I have to check that up. I said, I've either put that on hold about changing that. That's a different shadow. That's not this shadow here. We're talking about the thermostat itself. Mummy's by the front door. Is that a problem? Yeah, I'll tell you, we're going to speak about a fridge. A fridge takes much longer, it doesn't activate so quickly. This is very, very sensitive. This is mummish much quicker. This is like an oven, maybe, equipment. It's like certain things which activate very, very quickly. That's much worse. That's the shine over here, that's why it might be worse. Okay. Also, what this is Nogea to actually, but it's also very interesting, Shiloh, is on these thermostatically controlled heaters. You've got these little, what's it called, these little fan heaters, which people use, for example, sukkahs times. They want to take it into the sukkah. So on Yom Tov, it's not much of a thing. It's a red element, which is all this is much on Yom Tov. It's not muksa. So what happens is people might take it in and out of sukkah on Yom Tov. You don't talk about Moshe, yeah? These fan heaters. So the shayla is now, then says, well, you put the fan heater, mum, it's by the door of your sukkah. So when you open the door, the cold air gushes in, and you're going to activate the thermostat. That's not so good. So it's better to turn it away slightly. That's not mummish when the cold air comes in, it won't activate it. That's the chayra, a similar thing from this over here as well. A thermostatic.
What about air conditioning also?
What do you mean, air conditioning?
Air conditioning,
but that doesn't go. Does that go straight away? What happened? What's the shower? What are you going to do? Let's say you've got your air conditioning on. No air conditioning. But let's say your air conditioning unit is on, yeah?
Certain temperatures.
Yeah, it's on there. Yeah, well, that's what's stopped. It doesn't activate so quick.
Are you allowed to use an air conditioner on your altar?
What?
Are you allowed to use an air conditioner on your altar?
Well, hold on. I don't know if it activates so quick. What are you going to do? If you open cold air, what's going to happen? Stay longer. What will happen? That's what happens there. I don't know if it's like that. I don't know. Sorry, Moshe. You can use But the air conditioner was set before Yom Tov. If it's set before Yom Tov, you can use it.
Are you allowed to turn it on Yom Tov?
No, but you shouldn't touch it on Yom Tov. It's best not to touch it on Yom Tov. I don't think we were speaking last week, and I just want to tell you, it's actually interesting. I think we were speaking about it before Yom Tov. Was it here? I thought it was here. About these electric ovens. No, electric hobs. Did we speak about it? I can't remember what we talked about here.
Yeah.
About turning it up, if you can turn it up on Yom Tov.
No,
not time switch, not time switch. I'm talking about the electric hobs. You've got a hob, electric hob. And you've got, let's say, it's set on number two. On Yom Tov, can you turn up number three or four? Then what do we speak about?
Warmer.
I'm talking about a normal hob, electric hob, which you've got on setting number two. And the nice the food you want to eat up better. Yeah, can you turn up number three or four? So I must say, interesting, I was very busy with this last week. Anyway, what happened was, one of the, I'm not bringing here. So an electrician actually gave me one of these units, actually. He gave me the unit, the actual hob setting, which is a replacement, let's say, yeah? And he showed me the back of it, it's very interesting what it's got. At the back of the unit, it's got like a little box, you can see it, with four different wires. He said to me, when you change the settings, you're changing different circuits, which is a problem on Yom Tov, that you can't do them, I see. You're making a different circuit. I mean, if you've got one circuit, you make more power come through that you can be done on, that's one Shiloh. But here, he said to me, you're changing it, and you're making different circuits go on. That's much worse, that problem. Yeah, that's interesting. That's the electric. That's much worse. So turning up an electric, turning on an electric hob on Yom Tov is not possible. It's a problem to do. It's a problem to do. I'm not saying whether I want to say it's osser, but lechayra should come out. It's a problem. L'chayra. Okay. Then we spoke about electrical appliances. Yeah. So we big silent when electric came out. Is what is the problem with electric on Yom Tov? What malacha are you doing when you turn, I don't know, what's a radio on or a tape recorder? What are you doing? So this was, so this was a big shayla. There's a big shayla in the poskim. It was very quickly, we went through it. Some say it's moilid. It's a kiddush actually, that's moilid.
You can't turn on the radio on Shabbos.
Even during the week, you shouldn't do it.
Wow.
What?
If you ask the
non-Jew, let's talk about ourselves first of all. So, Master, are you allowed to turn the radio on or anything electrical on Yom Tov? So, there was a big shout in the poskim what it ranged from. Some say it's moilit, which is an issur rabbanon. You're creating something new. They tell it to you, very interesting. Just like you can't take an ice cube and squeeze or crush an ice cube to get a liquid. You've made something new. So they tie a huan in when you have a tape recorder, which is doing nothing, and you plug it in, and it now works. You've made something new, created something new, and therefore that's like moedin, isra'bon. Other circuits like makwa patish, this is the raisa, and the chaznish is famous. We do. He says it's a shal of boina, that making a circuit is a shal of boina. So I remember at the time, people asked a good kasha, which we spoke about. The chayra, are you allowed to open the door of a house on Shabbos? You're allowed to. Are you able to open and close? So why is the circuit, why is making it, putting a radio on anything on, also not the same thing? It's made to switch on and off. You're not going to keep on the whole time. It's made to open and close.
We have to turn off the switch. What's about turning the switch off
on Shabbos or Yom Tov? Well, that's what we're asking. You have to turn the switch on. So we're saying it's not so posh that much yet. It's a bit of a problem. So the Chavnis himself speaks out. I'm not sure what the Chavnis said. We said last time in the Chilik is that in a house, when you open the door and close, the door is meant to open and close. It's not a chisol in the house where the door's open and the door's closed. In a tape recorder, when it's off, it's useless. There's nothing. It's such a major change putting it on, it doesn't help the fact that it's able to open and close. That's what we said last time. Huh?
Plug it out,
that's probably just the one still. What do you mean, if the whole thing's off?
Yeah.
That could be better, maybe. Then we had a show about the Chumel Akar Kav. Is it a show? That was also an interesting show. Okay, then we spoke about different electrical appliances. So we spoke about a hearing aid, Lamoshla, for example. So we said that a hearing aid is mutter on Shabbos. Many possible hold a hearing aid is mutter on Shabbos, even though it amplifies the waves. Various reasons went through. That's not called Hashmos Koil. So the Meiser, many possible hold, there's no problem with hearing aid. Many possible hold that you can speak to someone with a hearing aid as well. There's no problem in that way at all. And that was okay. Then we spoke about fridges. And we said that today, let's talk about freezers. It's the same thing with a fridge. It's not much critical to a freezer, but a freezer is clear, it's easy to speak out. In this, frost-free freezers, what happens is many of them have got an inbuilt system, which is that as soon as you open the door, the fan stops. This is a new chokhmah, which has been going for the last 10 years or so, that as soon as you open the door, the fan stops. Now that's a serious problem. There's no heter around that. The only way to get around this is to buy something like a magnet, which can deactivate this, and this is very easy to find out. Somebody just told me this, and I put Shabbos on speaking to me. He said he managed to realize he didn't have this, but he didn't realize it was a problem, but he realized now, and it's free, this was a fridge or free, I can't remember what it was, but when you open the door, you can hear the fan stops. So that is a problem. There's no heter for that on Shabbos, because you're doing something nice, the mice will be dying. As soon as you open the door, the fan stops mummies instantly. That is a problem. So that can be sorted out with a magnet. Even so, even on top of that, there was always an issue with the fridge and freezers, that when you open up the fridge or freezer, what happens is cold air goes in, or warm air, whatever it is, whatever you call it. It's different air that's inside the fridge. That can activate the motor to go on. So this was a big machlokes aposkim. Is there a problem opening a fridge or a freezer, besides the fan issue, let's say you got around the fan issue, is there a problem opening up a fridge or freezer on Shabbos when the motor is not actually working? That means if the motor is not working and you open up the fridge or freezer, different air goes in, which might trigger off the motor to boost up, and therefore you set it off. This was a big machlokes, different poskim hold different things.
So can I Shabbos,
like the next room,
if the fridge door is closed, am I allowed to open it? If I don't like making a knob?
Well, that's a shadow question. That's my question. If you ask me a question, it depends which rabbi you go to. Some rabbis will tell you you're allowed to open a fridge, because the fact that it might go on is like a grommet, it's not direct. And others say that's not enough of a grommet, the mice that they hold is a problem. So this is an old Shiloh, fridges and freezers, which have got no, unless the fan has been deactivated, they haven't got that problem. This is an old question, opening up a fridge or freezer on Shabbos, is it a problem of you're going to maybe cause the motor to go on? So it's a machlokes aposkim, some poskim makel, some poskim hold, it's not allowed.
Not allowed?
Not allowed. So you have to wait, the only way to open such a thing is, either you wait till the motor's on. When the motor's on and you open up the fridge door, so you make it prolong longer, that's mutter. So you have to wait until the fridge motor or freezer motor's on, or you can have a time switch, which we said, you can have a time switch. So let's say you want to have your meal between 12 o'clock and 1. So you can have a time switch. At 12 o'clock, your fridge freezer goes off for an hour, so you can open and close your fridge as much as you want then during that time. If you have such a time switch like that for the whole hour, it's off. Or you can put in intervals. It's a simple solution. You could do that. That's another way of doing that. Then we spoke about baby alarms, and we said also baby alarms are very similar to hearing aids, partially to Tzorich HaTinuk, and therefore it's mutter to do. The only thing one has to be careful about is that when one's in the room itself, one shouldn't speak in a baby alarm. So let's say the baby's upstairs, and you've gone upstairs to check the baby, and your wife's downstairs, so you shouldn't shout down there in the room, Rochel, do you mind to bring up the baby wipes? That's not what you shouldn't do. You shouldn't use that for your own benefit. What's needed for the child? That's a Tzorich HaTinuk. The baby's making a noise in his room, he cries, you're downstairs in the kitchen, you can hear the baby crying. That's okay. That's allowed for the child. But to actually use the baby mic itself for your own benefit, you shouldn't do. What? Be careful of your comments. That was the story we said. Yeah, quite right. Telephones, actually, I just want to finish off with this. I didn't manage to find this out either. In my times in telephones, well, someone has to use a telephone on Shabbos, I've had it. If it's Pikuach Nefesh and time is of the essence, no Shaila, you use the phone as quickly as possible. No Chochmas whatsoever, no Shinuim. If one has got time, even if it's an emergency, but if you've got a bit of time, I'm not sure, a woman's having a baby, but she's got, it's not, mummy's imminent to go in, you have to get there, but she's got a few seconds to play around with. So in my time, they always said that you should do with a shinui what you can, but you knock the phone off the hook with a shinui, you dial with a shinui, you can't speak with a shinui, that you can't do, you have to speak like normal, and you speak to the guy on the phone, I think Rosh Hashanah is, you should try and make it as brief as possible, you can ask him hello, you don't have to be minimized words, but you should make it as brief as possible, and then the shinui was putting the phone back. So in my time, when we learned this always, we were told to put the phone back with a shinui, because they might need to phone you back, or you might cut off their line. As far as I understand now, I didn't get a chance to, but as far as I know now, the phone automatically cuts off. So I don't know. So then the host is not so possible to put it back. I mean, unless there's a chance they might need to call you back. If there's a chance they need to call you back, my buddy, you have to put it back. Put it back with a shinui. If there's no reason why I should have to call you back, and you're not going to block the line, l'chol, then you've got no head to put it back. You should not have to put it back. Okay, boys, I have to check that point out. What's this?